Today is Wednesday, November the 19th, 1980. This is Connie Reen interviewing Martha Camphreen in La Crosse, Texas at her home. I'm interviewing for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project B. Okay, Miss Reen, I know you were a Camph. Would you tell me when and where you were born and a little bit about your family?
Well, I was born at where Andrew lives now, you know. Ben Camph home, across the river.
And when were you born? What was your birth date?
October the 1st, 1898.
Okay, so that makes you about 82? Mm-hmm. Just turned 82.
Just turned 82 on the 1st of October.
Okay, who were your parents?
Benjamin Camph and Mary Keller Camph. Mary Louisa Keller Camph.
Okay, and how many were in your family?
Three.
Two brothers?
Two brothers. Andrew was older, and then me, and then older.
Okay, so you were in the middle there. Okay, so you lived all your life in Castroville?
Yeah, in that area, yeah. We were called those days farmers, you know, when we were across the river.
Because you were outside of the city limits. Huh? Okay. What was your father's occupation?
Farmer.
He was a farmer all his life.
All his life.
But his father was in politics all his life, wasn't he? And what position was that he held, your grandfather?
Well, when he come across from the old country, he was already a school teacher. And he was the first school teacher in Castroville.
Yeah.
German, I think. I don't know whether he taught English. I guess he did.
Well, I think he knew English because he writes in English in the early county records.
Yes, yes. And then he was county judge and county
clerk. District clerk.
He was at one time a county judge, and I don't know, it was some kind with the military that he was in the military, and he could not hold that office. I really never understood right, but then they put...
You're talking about during the Civil War?
I guess it was during the Civil War. It's in that obituary, it's on your record there in your archive.
Oh, okay.
And then they put a Haiti in, but he had to be his clerk, because Haiti couldn't read or write.
Oh, Nicholas Haiti.
Nicholas Haiti, yeah.
So then what position did he hold?
County judge.
No, but I mean after that then.
Well, county clerk.
County clerk.
Uh-huh.
And then his son took over from him.
When his health failed, his office took over.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so your father was Benjamin. Okay, when did you start school, or where did you go to school? Let's put it that way.
Well, in the two-story building. In the convent.
So you
convent
went to the
lot there in that two-story building.
You went to the sister school.
Uh-huh.
How many years did you go to school?
Well, I guess till I was about in the seventh or eighth grade, something like that.
Okay. Did you, what language did you speak when you started school?
Hardly knew English. We were Alsatian.
So you spoke mostly Alsatian at home?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We sort of almost had to learn English when we went to school.
Uh-huh. Your family has always been very involved in the church, in the parish.
Yeah.
I know your father was president of St. Louis Society, and your mother was president of St. Anne Society, the altar society, right? Okay. I want to get into some of the church holy days, and we'll start with St. Louis Day. Do you remember, like, when your father was president of St. Louis Society, what years was that about?
I couldn't tell you what years it was.
Was it as you were growing up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
he always went to the Staatsverband, you know, that they had,
State League. He represented the St. Louis Society. Okay, what is your first memory of St. Louis Day? I mean, how do you think of it when you were a child?
Well, they used to have the socials in that place where churches is now. That building.
That was the
St.
Louis?
That was the St. Louis, the Friars Hall.
The
Friars Hall. St. Louis Friars Hall. And they used to have the socials, not for money making. They just had socials in there. But then later on they started, having money making deals, you know. I know after they built the old parish hall then. They sold that Friars Hall after they made the parish hall.
Right.
And then from that time on, they always had celebrations where they made money, because I know one time they cooked in the rectory. They cooked the meals in the rectory, and they carried it over there to the
Oh, so they did use the parish hall. For St. Louis Day or for other events? Are you thinking about?
Once or twice, I remember they used it for St. Louis Day. And then later on, they started with having it. The Tregessers, you know, they had a hall, and there was the Wernitz Garden, and there was another one down the street, the Bates.
The Mayflower?
Mayflower, mm-hmm. Right.
So those three dance halls were in Pastorville all at the same time?
Yes.
Okay, what are we talking about? What years about? About the 20s or? When those halls were there. I know the Tracaster Hall burned down in the early 30s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been in the 20s.
In the 20s. Okay, in other words,
when
St. Louis
Day. When I was a teenager.
When you were a teenager. When St. Louis Day. Was not always held then in the same place?
No.
Okay. When they'd hold St. Louis Day at one of these halls, in other words, this person that owned the hall would give the place to the church for the celebration?
I guess so. At least I know there was always arguments about it. They had it one, the other one got mad, and so forth and so on.
Well, did they more or less alternate it then every other year or something like that?
They did, and that was before my time. I don't remember it, but I hear say that they used to have it in Bediger's Bottom.
Yes, we have some newspaper articles, mm-hmm. 1894, 1892, where it was held in Bediger's mm-hmm. Grove.
Then I think until it was made the Kinnick Foundation, then when Miss Kinnick gave it to the church or to the.
Of course, it was held at Wernitz Garden before that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I guess
but one thing they always had dances for two nights on the, in all three places.
Okay, which nights were they held?
Well, it was on the 25th, uh-huh. on the day, and the 25th and 26th usually.
Two nights in a row. Well, did they celebrate for 2 days also then?
No, but just with the dances.
Just with the dances. Mm-hmm. But the dances were not put on by the parish, were
no,
they?
No.
They were put on by the people?
By the ones that owned the dance hall. I guess that's what the argument was about.
Yeah, because each one wanted to make the money, yeah. Huh? Okay, do you know if these men, for instance, did they contribute heavily to the church then because they made money? You don't know anything about
that? I don't know. I doubt it.
Okay, what I was wondering is why did the parish not always have it in the parish hall since they owned the parish hall right there?
Well, it wasn't big enough.
It wasn't big enough, okay. Okay, now besides the dances, what do you remember about St. Louis Day?
That was all I remember. Well, they always had a big church doings. And the parish priest always invited a lot of priests.
Uh-huh.
And they had a big high mass. And we practiced singing sometimes for months ahead, you know.
To get ready for
it. And sometimes there were as high as 20 priests there or more. And the housekeeper had to cook for them.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
did you ever help with that?
No, I was. My mother did.
Help cook for the priest?
No, not for the priest, but help with it when they had the celebrations then, yeah, later.
Uh-huh.
But I remember when, I don't remember too much Father Kiry anymore, but Father Heckman was there.
You see, Father Kiry left here in 1909. So
and
you
I
were
made
only
my
11.
First communion in 1910.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Father Heckman. He was my favorite priest there.
Well, then
he was an Alsatian, too.
Were you in Father Heckman's first communion
mm-hmm.
class?
Mm-hmm. 1910.
Okay. How many were in that class?
60.
Yeah, that was a large class.
Mm-hmm.
So Father Heckman was your favorite priest, huh?
Those days, yeah.
Did he speak Alsatian
yeah.
to y'all?
Yeah. But he could speak High German, too, yeah. And French.
French, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know he spoke.
And he always said he learned to speak Spanish because he knew French. It's so easy to learn the Spanish when you know the French.
So he learned Spanish while he was here.
But he never learned the English real good, broken uh-huh. all the time. But he made the English sermon sometimes.
Uh-huh.
He tried hard.
But he mostly gave his sermons in German, mm-hmm. didn't he, in High German? Mm-hmm. Okay, did your family, were they real close to Father Heckman?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you remember about him?
Well, I know every time we had hog killing or something, we brought him some sausage and head cheese and everything.
Mm-hmm. So,
and on Sunday afternoon, you know, Sunday was all day Sunday, always. We had Vespers in the afternoon, we went to church in the afternoon, and then we had we always stayed with our grandmother, you know, Mariana Hamilton. And my father used to, well, they had saloons open, you know, and everything on a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they played cards in that Fry's Hall, you
yes.
know.
Uh-huh.
And my daddy never, my father never played cards. He used to sit with Father Heckman on the porch and visit with him.
On Sunday?
Sunday afternoon.
After the Vespers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where was your grandmother's house in Castroville?
Well, where Aunt Antonia is now.
Oh, next, just right down the street. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where she, this mm-hmm. is your grandmother, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Is this where she and her husband live?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
They bought that from, you know, Father Dubé built that house.
Father Dubé.
Uh-huh. Dubé, and I think a fellow, Berger, bought it from Dubé, and I think they bought it from Berger then.
Uh-huh. Well, wasn't Joseph Berger a brother-in-law of Joseph Kim?
No, but his daughter married one of his sons, I think. That's the way
that's
it was.
Yeah, he was a son-in-law then.
Son-in-law,
yeah. I knew there was a connection between
no,
them.
No, he did not own it. His father did, I guess. Uncle Victor's father. His name was Victor Berger,
uh-huh.
and he married Ann Vida Kim. That was my brother's sister.
Your daddy's sister?
Mm-hmm.
She was your aunt, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, you, getting back to St. Louis Day, you said this was always a big church service, then, in other words. The parish really,
it was really
concentrated
more
on
that
church
more
service.
Than the other celebrations. Of course, they always had dances.
Uh-huh. But in those days, the people paid more attention to the spiritual, the religious
right,
ceremony.
Right.
And so the choir would get ready
mm-hmm.
ahead of time singing. Were you in the choir?
Yeah.
You were. Okay, what type of a choir did you have in those days?
It was just a ladies' choir.
All
male,
ladies?
Male. No male voices.
No male voices.
Sister Yudoga directed the choir.
Oh.
And she was deaf. She didn't hear.
Uh-huh.
But she directed she played the organ. And
okay, someone told us that before the women's choir was, that there was an all-man's choir.
Well, I don't remember that.
You don't
that
remember
is before
that.
Me.
Okay, it must have been in before the
because
turn of
my
the
grandfather was first organist.
Your grandfather,
mm-hmm.
who Joseph
Kim,
was the first organist
in that church.
Okay,
I don't know who sang.
Well, then he beside being a teacher,
he
was also organist. In a political office, and he was a church organist.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite talented.
Yeah, he was. He knew German, French, English, and Spanish fluently.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So he was quite well educated. First, he said he wanted to become a priest, and then he decided not. And then I think he started for a doctor, decided
uh-huh.
not to be a doctor, and then he turned out to be a school teacher.
Okay. Now, Joseph Kim married Mariana Weber. You knew Mariana Weber, though.
Yeah.
She was still living
mm-hmm.
when you were a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
But Joseph Kemp was not.
No.
He had died in the 1890s, I believe. Early 1890s. 91, yeah. I knew that he died in that time. Okay, when they had this big high mass on St. Louis Day, and they had visiting priests, and then did one of these visiting priests give a sermon or a homily? Is that
usually.
What was it about, the sermon, usually?
Lord, I don't know what he preached about.
Okay.
St. Louis, I guess, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Did the parishioners have any other part in this Mass?
No, didn't. Just to take up collection, that's all.
Uh-huh. But like you didn't have a procession or anything like that before the Mass to the priest's house?
Maybe from, I don't remember they had
don't
it on
St.
Louis Day, but I know they used to have it when they had First Communion, you know. The communion class had to walk from the school to the church.
From that big two-story
uh-huh,
building?
Yeah.
You would, in other words, you would all gather there,
uh-huh.
and then the parish would take you in procession.
Mm-hmm. They usually had processions. I don't remember now if they had it on St. Louis Day, but they had it on that other day when they carried the Blessed Sacrament around.
Corpus Christi. Okay, now, when you made your first communion, did you also make your confirmation at about the same time?
Same time.
Was it not the same day, though, huh? Or what was it?
It was real close if it wasn't the same day, because I don't remember whether it was the same day or not. Seemed to me, no, I don't think it was.
Okay, now when
but it was the same year.
Same year. When you had confirmation, I guess they probably had the same year, you'd wear your communion dress then
mm-hmm.
for confirmation.
Right.
When you had confirmation, the bishop would come to Castroville.
Yes.
Do you remember any of those visits? Say, Bishop Drossert's
Yes, he used to come, and oh, that was a big day too. They usually came by, I don't know whether they had automobiles then already or not. I guess they did. And they went on horsebacks, and they met him at the county line.
At the county line?
Uh-huh.
And who would do this on the horse?
Oh, the young men.
The young men. Mm-hmm. Was there any decoration done in town?
Yeah,
or
they decorated, I don't know, with wreaths and stuff. I don't know. Not like they, with flags. They didn't have all these flags they have now.
Uh-huh.
The St. Louis banner, you know, that was always out.
Uh-huh.
And the St. Anne's banner and the Young Ladies banner. The Young Ladies Society had a banner.
Uh-huh. Yes, I've seen pictures of it. Were you in that Young Ladies Society?
Mm-hmm.
What was that club like?
Well, very much like they are now. Some attended all the time and some never did.
Well, how often did you meet?
Once a month.
Uh-huh. Okay, what type of activities did the club have?
Nothing.
Well, I have a couple of newspaper articles where they donated the corpse on the cross up at the cemetery, but that was like 1906.
Mm-hmm.
And it was donated by the Young Ladies of Aldi, and they had...
Well, one of the windows, I think, too, was donated by the choir.
Yes.
Did it say that?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember that.
It's one of the back windows in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the choir at that
no,
time?
No, that was before me.
Okay, those windows were put in 1908.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the church being remodeled at that 1908? You had been only about 10 years old.
Maybe repainted, I don't know.
Well, they put the spire on there, and they put the new windows in the windows. The new stained glass windows were put in 1908.
I can remember when those windows were put in, because I remember my grandmother bought one.
Yeah.
In memory of her family and the Kemp family.
Do you remember the windows that were in there before that?
Yeah, they were kind of wing windows, I believe. They opened like that.
What color were they, or what kind of glass?
Oh, it wasn't stained glass, but it was something that you couldn't see through. I don't know.
Kind of opaque?
Opaque.
Yeah. White? Uh-huh. Or... I always wondered, you know, when they had an auction at Tunder's, when Mr. Johnson had an auction after his death, they had an auction of his antiques.
Mm-hmm.
There was one of those arches.
Well, they have some at the right of the, what do they call it, that antique shop right by the church there, the two-story house.
Oh, at the Belchers?
Belchers. They have something like that standing outside now, have you noticed?
Uh-uh.
Like,
but I
just, this looks like something that's out of a church.
I had a feeling that this one at Tunder Store was the one that was over the front door. You know, the St. Louis Society has gave a little window above the front door
with St. Louis
with
on
St.
it.
Louis on it. And I had a feeling that maybe this was the old one they took out when
and
they put that
Tunder
one in.
Tunder Store?
Yeah, just this little arch. But they sold it in that auction for $4, I believe.
Oh,
I don't know what it would be good for, but it's just... Okay, let's see, what were we talking about? Confirmation when the bishop came. Okay, they had a procession. Did they do anything else special at these processions?
No, nothing.
Have you ever heard about when they
fired? Usually rang the bells.
How about the firing of the anvil?
I don't remember. They usually did when the bishop came.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
When he came in, you know, with... Well, so I can still remember when he came in two-seated thing, buggy, you know. And
how old were you when you remember this?
Well, I that was before I made my communion, maybe. I don't know.
So it was when you were a small girl.
Uh-huh.
You remember the bishop coming in?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, did you take part in it? Were you a flower girl?
Yeah. We all lined up, you know, at the Fryn Hall, I believe, or somewhere. It's by the bridge already, you know.
Along that street,
mm-hmm.
then?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what then? Would you walk in procession to church,
mm-hmm.
or what?
And the bishop would get off then, you know, and go in by the rectory.
Uh-huh.
And then they had a special room for the bishop, you know. That was always the bishop's room.
Uh-huh.
And it had to be nice and clean. And
okay, and then did the women in the parish have to... help
well, they had
food?
To help the housekeeper, you know, whoever she was. I don't know. If Father Heckman had his niece as housekeeper here.
Felicia Selena?
No. Her name was Helena. He called her Lena. Helena was her name, and it was his cousin. And then when Father Heckman came, there was an old lady. Her name was Breeden.
Who were you talking about before? You said, who was Helena?
Father Kirik's niece.
Kitty.
Father Kirik's niece.
Okay.
And then Father Heckman had Mrs. Breeden, and she was a dear old person, you know. She wanted to do everything that was nice and good for Father Heckman. She couldn't do
enough. Was she from Casterville?
Yes, she was from there.
Okay, well, what about Felicia Salou?
Well, that was later. When Miss Breeden wasn't able anymore. She was already an old person when she started.
Well, which Mrs. Breeden is that?
She was...
Was she related to Gramisi Breeden?
Some way. They were cousins, husband and old man Breeden, I think. She was first married to a Schwandemann, and he died. She had one son, and then she married this Breeden, and she had a family,
mm-hmm.
Gus Breeden, and I think another Breeden from De Lifting Divine. Mm-hmm. And she was a dear old person. She was. She treated Father Heckman like it was her own son, you know.
Oh. Okay, well, getting back to when they had the St. Louis Day, we've gotten way off the subject. They had the visiting priests and a big high mass with the choir. Okay, then what did you do after church then? Now, think about when you were a little girl.
Nothing. It was like another Sunday, I guess.
You just went home to eat?
Yeah.
They didn't have the St. Louis dinner?
No. Not always, not that I can remember.
Okay, so it wasn't held every year?
Not those days, not in the early days.
Not in the early days.
But from the time they had that parish hall there, you know, it was held every year.
Okay. Do you ever remember them having a dinner where they charged the public for over at the Bryan Hall?
Well, they called it the bazaar at that time.
Bazaar.
Uh-huh. And they sold things, you know.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember too much about
it. But it was held over at that...
At the Verein Hall.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that Verein Hall was sort of a clubhouse for the St. Louis Society.
Yes, it was. They owned it.
They had a library in there. They had a bowling alley, mm-hmm. outside.
I don't know how much of a library they had in there or not.
Well, I read that in their minutes, that they bought these books and these chairs for the Verein Hall.
Oh, yeah, they had... These pretty old chairs. I wonder what ever become of
those captain chairs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they moved them to the new parish hall. They were always standing in the parish hall when I was there.
What become of them?
Well, little by little they got broken. I remember we used to have to move them for card parties. We'd have to arrange the tables with the four chairs, and then those that played bingo in another place. But I always remember those captain's chairs. The kids always had to move them to the table.
Yeah, and when it was over, we'd move them along. They were not convenient to put around those little tables.
No, and then we'd move them along the side of the hall when it was over. But then little by little, those would get broken. And I think after a few years, they bought those folding chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they either gave them away or sold them.
The first folding chairs they had, I remember they were wood. They were kind of heavy.
Yes.
And Andrew that still has some down there. One or two chairs and a table.
Well, I remember when we had crowds that those round captain's chairs were kind of inconvenient. You couldn't get as many people in.
Mm-hmm.
But so they, like when you'd have programs at school and they'd have to get a lot of chairs.
Yeah, but if it would have been people that cared like they do now, those chairs should have stayed.
Yeah, I see a few around town, you know, but not many. Of course, in those days, everybody thought the old stuff was to be thrown away and get something modern, you know. I know. I wish now I'd have some of those.
Oh, I do, too.
They're
well,
nice.
Grandparina had a bunch of them in his saloon. I don't know what happened to them either. We hadn't got a one.
Do you know who made those?
I don't remember.
I thought possibly Joseph Sharp had made them, but he died already in 1902, so he had made some for the St. Louis Society, according to their minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, maybe he, you know, there were people who made those chairs around Castle.
I wouldn't know. I really wouldn't know who made them.
Yeah, they were nice. Well, we have a series of newspaper articles, 1901, 1902, 1903, 1904, 1905, and then in 1906, And each year, the article is almost the same thing about St. Louis,
Louis Day.
But in 1906, it says, the women, amid much opposition, had a successful dinner on the Saturday of St. Louis Day. They served a meal to the public.
So I thought, charge for it or no?
Well, it doesn't say that, but I presume that they charged for it. Uh-huh. Now, Cecil Jaggi is 90. She's a little older than you. She says when she first married, Molly Schott asked her to work in the kitchen. And she remembered that they charged 25 cents for the meal. And it was all put on the tables. You could eat all you wanted.
It was long served before Molly Schott, because Aunt Mary Keller and my mother, you know, they were older. They already had worked. And I know one time when they had the parish hall, they cooked in the rectory where we are now.
What did they cook?
Lord, I don't know what they cooked. Roasts, I guess, and stuff like that. They served meat and potatoes and cake. And I remember they did, when some was left over, nothing was given away. It had to be sold to make a little money. That's when they started making money then. After they had the parish hall, they started charging for the meal.
Well, were they trying to pay off the parish hall?
I guess so, but
of course, at about that same time, the Red School was built.
Yeah.
See, that was built in 1925, and that cost quite a bit, so maybe they raised money to pay off that building also. I'm not sure. Don't remember that?
Well, they had raised money for everything, you know. You know how much they offered the nickel on a Sunday, a family. It was ridiculous, you know.
And, of course, the school was growing, and they built the new Red School, so they had a lot of
Sure, it was always in debt. Now, sometimes I hear, like, well, I shouldn't be saying this now, but over here they did so much since this priest is here. No debts. Everything's paid.
Yeah. Well, when the people want it, they shell out.
They shell out.
I remember that someone told me that when the school was built, the red one, they had a big meeting of the men, I guess, who were in the parish. And I believe Andrew was at that meeting. But anyway, they said there was a big discussion and kind of a controversy over whether to build a frame building or whether to build a brick building. And Father Heckman wanted to build a frame building. But Joe Ream, and I don't know if it was Bob, too, and somebody else fought for having the red brick building.
It was kind of foolish to make a a frame building when you could do a brick
Father
building.
Father Heckman said that night, I think Victor Tunder's the one that told me this, if you'll get up $1,000 just amongst this, I guess it was a group of about 20 or so, donations, promises, pledges, in other words, then I'll give that much more. We'll build the brick building. And in no time at all, they had this pledged up.
They wanted and to, they got it. Huh?
In the archives, we have this list of those people who pledged that money. You don't remember the building of that?
Yeah, I remember when they built it.
But you weren't in, you don't remember being involved?
I wasn't involved. We weren't involved, I guess my father was. They donated, you know, all the time.
Okay.
Paid $75, you know, that was a big pledge, $75 in those days.
Okay, you said they served that meal in the parish hall.
Yeah. I don't know how they served it. I remember that the ladies cooked over there, and they carried it over there.
Okay, well, when is your first recollection then at Wernitz Gordon of the? I mean, okay, when did you get married? What year?
Well, when I got married, this was all. I married late. We married in 1931.
31. Okay. What were you doing at St. Louis Day, say, when you got married?
Well, it was the day before. We worked like they work now. And from that time on, it was always like it is now, a celebration to make money for the church.
So it was more or less the same way as it is now.
But when Bob got married, first time got married in 1914, that was all before that. He always worked
for the school already, then already, you know, and donated to watch the school with the kids in school.
Yeah. His children did go to Castorville
school. Sure.
Right. Okay, what did you do at the celebration? What was your
you
job?
You should have worked in the kina.
In the
or
kina.
Sometimes worked around the tables.
Uh-huh. Now, are you talking about when you were a young girl or when you were
when
married?
When I was a young girl, we worked in kina. After I was married, I worked in the kitchen, usually around the table.
So the younger women kind of worked the kina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then after you got married, you worked in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, were you ever involved in the preparations before that date?